Carrion slid down the wall and settled comfortably back on the bed. His lance sped across the air and into his hands. Silence found he could move again. Jenny Psycho flickered out like a snuffed candle and was just Diana Virtue again. She stretched slowly and sat down in her chair. There was a sense of calm in the cabin, of pressure released, of a storm past.
What the hell was the point of all that?
Jenny's a bit of a bitch, but she gets things done. And I had a feeling the Ashrai would only respond to the dramatic. I needed to have their answer.
And now you do. I hope you think that raising their anger was worth it.
Someone translate. All I heard was music that damn near blew out my eardrums. What did they say?
They know about the Mater Mundi, and they're scared. Her existence disturbs them. They've agreed to come when I call, but I'm not sure anymore how much use they'll be. They're much diminished without their forest and their world.
Don't underestimate them. Dying was just another journey for them, a transition to another state. They are still very powerful.
But they've been dead a long time. You're all that holds them to the worlds of the living now, Carrion.
Yes, well, I'm still not entirely comfortable with the idea of ghosts anyway. The dead should stay dead.
I'm not comfortable with the thought that the Mater Mundi could be so powerful that she even frightens the dead. It would appear I'm going to need even more allies. Which brings me back to you, Daddy.
What do you mean? As you so kindly pointed out, what few powers I have aren't even in the same league as the Mater Mundi. I'll be there for you when I can, but I'm just another captain in the Imperial Fleet, and I have to go where my orders send me. Right now I'm heading into the Dark Void. No idea when I'll be back. Or even if I'll be coming back.
You'll be back. You're a survivor. You survived the Madness Maze when most of the crew who went in with you didn't. And you do have powers, though you've chosen not to use or develop them. There's no reason why you couldn't become as powerful as all the other Maze survivors in time. I didn't want to involve you in my troubles, but I may not have any choice. How much do you love me, Daddy? Enough to become something other than human for my sake? To protect me?
I failed you before. I won't fail you again. But I
don't... The maze changed you. It rebuilt you. Don't be afraid of your potential. Tell me about the maze. What it did to you.
I don't know. I don't know what I am anymore. I don't know what I'm becoming. All I know is that whatever change the maze started in me, it isn't over yet. Sometimes I see things in my dreams. I hear voices telling me things. And once, Frost came to me. She was trying to warn me about the maze, what it was doing to me, but I couldn't understand her.
Describe the maze to me. What was it like inside? What did it feel like?
It was alien, like nothing I'd ever encountered before. And I think it might have been alive in some way that we could never have comprehended. Being inside the maze was like walking in visions, like one of those dreams where you know the answer to everything until you wake up and it's all gone. But these answers were real. They were too much for some of those who went into the maze with me. They died horribly. Their minds didn't have the capacity for the changes the maze wanted to make in them.
Why did you leave the maze? Why didn't you go all the way through, like Owen and his people?
I was scared. I wasn't worthy. And it was killing Frost. I grabbed her and got us both out. It wasn't until much later that the changes started appearing in us.
What do you think the maze was? What was its purpose?
Better man than me have tried to answer that, and failed. Ask an ant what it feels about the statue it's crawling over. The maze was an alien device of some kind, created who knows how long ago by some species or life form we know nothing of. No one's ever found anything like the maze before or since on any of the thousands of planets we visited or colonized. Its purpose was an alien purpose, possibly quite beyond our human capability to understand.
But you felt its touch. What do you think it was?
Perhaps a teaching machine for those capable of learning. But none of this matters anymore. I destroyed it, blew it away with disruptor cannon till there was nothing left of it. The only one of its kind, possibly unique in the universe, and I obliterated it. And if I had to do it all over again, I'd give the same damned order without the slightest hesitation.
You never change, Captain.
Have you had any contact with the other Maze survivors since the rebellion? Have you discussed your opinions with them?
No. It wasn't that long ago we were trying to kill each other. They pulled down nearly everything I ever believed in. A part of me still wants to kill them for what they've done. Besides, I don't think we'd have much in common to talk about. They're different from me, from everyone. They're spooky, almost inhuman, sometimes almost alien. If there's a path they and I are walking, they're much further along it than me. From where I am, they're almost out of sight. I think they're a lot closer to what the Maze intended them to be, the poor bastards. All their new powers and abilities don't seem to have made them any happier. They're becoming something. Something other than human.
Like me, perhaps?
No, Sean, you're just weird. I can still understand you, what moves you. I haven't a clue what's going on in the heads of Owen and his friends. I think they're moving away from merely human concerns. That makes them dangerous. Perhaps not just to the Empire, but to all humanity. That's one of the reasons why the Maze people weren't informed of this mission. Parliament didn't trust them not to interfere, to try and stop us. They went into the Dark Void and came out again, but swore they had no contact with the Recreated, or whatever it is that lives in the Endless Dark. That has to be significant.
What do you expect to find in the Dark Void?
Damned if I know. But just possibly something strong enough to stop or control the Maze people, if they go bad.
And you think that's necessary? You feel a need for a weapon to destroy them, like you destroyed the Ashrai and the Madness Maze?
Good example. My duty is to the Empire, and to humanity, to protect them from any and all dangers. Look, these people aren't answerable to anyone but themselves. There's no one strong enough to say no if they say yes, and they're getting stronger all the time. What if one or more of them decided that Parliament's decisions were taking the Empire in a direction they didn't approve of? What if they were to decide that mere humans couldn't be trusted with their own destiny, and they decided to take over and rule us? For our own good, of course. Who could stop them? Together, they overturned Lionstone's empire.
Or you could be turning paranoid. There are only four of them.
How many gods does it take to rule humanity? And just because I'm paranoid, it doesn't mean that they aren't out to get me. You, of all people, should appreciate that, with your concerns about the Mater Mundi.
Diana smiled for the first time.
Good point.
She got to her feet and nodded briefly to her father and Carrion.
It's time I was going. I don't think I'm going to learn any more here. I'll talk to you again when you get back. Don't bother to see me out.
And just like that, she vanished. One moment there, the next gone. Silence and Carrion looked at each other.
Well, she's definitely your daughter, Captain.
And she always did know how to make an exit. Time is running out, and I still haven't finished briefing you. What was I going to? Oh, yeah. The insect ships. Have you finished struggling through the files I let you have?
Of course. Fascinating material. You do know the insects have to be artificial, don't you?
That's what Frost said. She said they had to have been gen-engineered, because insects don't get that big naturally. Which implies there's another player in the game that we don't know about yet. The insect's creator.
Do we really need to assume it's an unknown? Surely there are enough suspects already. The Haydenmen, Shub, even rogue human scientists funded by families desperate for power. All of these have proved capable of developing and deploying terror weapons in the past, for their various reasons. And then there's always the Recreated, whatever they turn out to be.
I said as much to Admiral Beckett. He commended me on my original thinking, but said he didn't have the time or the resources to investigate any of them. I couldn't argue with him. I know the state of the fleet as well as he does. But I wouldn't be at all surprised to discover that the insects come out of the Dark Void. Their attacks have always been concentrated on the Rim, and where else could they be disappearing to afterwards? And then, there's the voices. The files I gave you on that are restricted. You are not to discuss their contents with anyone else without my express permission, in advance. I've gone to great pains to keep information on the voices limited to the smallest number of people. My crew are spooked enough about going back into the Dark Void as it is. So, what do you make of the voices? Any ideas?
It could be an Esper phenomenon, or it could be the voices of the dead. I have experience of both myself, after all. But the most likely explanation has to be a psychological trick by Shub to soften you up for the coming of the Champion. A long-lost ship crewed by dead men, its reappearance heralded by the warning voices of ghosts. Just the kind of thing the rogue AIs would come up with to mess with your heads.
Of course, that's the most likely explanation. But there's more to it than that. You didn't hear those voices, Sean. They wouldn't stay recorded. They just faded away. What you listened to in the files were simulations, based on what we remembered. The real thing sounded horrible, unnerving. They really did seem to be trying to warn us away from danger. Not just from the champion, but from the Dark Void itself. And now here we are, going back into it again.
Could it be some kind of warning by the Recreated? To stay out of their territory?
Your guess is as good as mine. I suppose, as always, we'll just have to find out the hard way. And it has to be us. This ship and its crew have more experience of the Dark Void than any other three ships put together. We are, after all, quite definitely expendable.
Nothing changes.
So, how does it feel to be an investigator again?
I wear the title only as a courtesy. If I hadn't taken it, the fleet would only have forced one on you. And we don't need that kind of distraction. But I won't wear the official uniform. I'm not worthy of it anymore. Or it's not worthy of me. I haven't decided yet.
You got a full pardon.
I didn't ask for it.
But it means you're no longer a wanted man. Wouldn't you like to go home again, Sean?
I had a home. I was happy there. And then you and Chubb destroyed it.
Jack Random paced back and forth in Ruby Journey's luxurious apartment, waiting impatiently for her to make an appearance. They were running late again, but that was nothing unusual where Ruby was concerned. She never let herself be hurried by anyone, outside of actual armed conflict. He kept himself from looking at the clock on the wall yet again, by an act of extreme self-control, and glared around the suite as if he could force Ruby into showing through sheer willpower. It didn't work. There was a lot to look at in the apartment. It had all the comforts money and intimidation could bring, including a few that were technically illegal, though Jack doubted if anyone had dared point that out to Ruby. There were thick rugs on the floor, paintings of dubious taste on three of the walls, and a huge holoscreen that covered all of the fourth wall. A glass chandelier, quite amazingly awful in its clumsy ostentation, hung too low from the ceiling of a room that was really too small for it. Ruby had one in each room. She liked chandeliers. The furniture ranged from impressively pricey to cloyingly comfortable. The pieces had nothing in common with one another. Rickety antiques stood next to the very latest in high-tech leisure design and ostentatiously ignored each other. Jack wasn't sure which he disapproved of the most. The antiques looked as though they'd collapse under him if he so much as thought about sitting on them, and the comfy chairs all insisted on giving him a massage, whether he wanted one or not. Jack gave them a wide berth. He felt very strongly that furniture should know its place and not get overly familiar. The massive ironwood coffee table, set exactly in the middle of the room, was covered with piles of discarded style magazines, the latest three issues of Which Gun, and no less than four open boxes of chocolates, with all the coffee creams missing. He didn't even look at the massive bar. The maze had made him immune to all kinds of poison, including hangovers, and Jack had always believed one should suffer from one's excesses. That's how you knew they were excesses. Jack had moved beyond the human, in many ways, but he still clung to his humanity. Jack finally came to a halt, staring at nothing in particular. He felt tired, and tired of being tired. For weeks now, he'd been working all day and long into the evening, fighting to keep his dream of democracy alive, and struggling to turn himself into a diplomat rather than a warrior. Parliament had many enemies, and when they weren't trying to undermine or discredit it, the MPs themselves seemed perfectly happy to tear the whole institution apart. After so long as a glorified rubber stamp, real power had gone to the heads of many MPs, even if they weren't too sure yet what to do with it. New political parties were forming every day, wrapped around a kernel of dogma, or the cult of a personality. The news shows were stuffed with talking heads, promising everything up to and including the Second Coming in return for votes, and poster gangs fought vicious wars in the streets during the wee hours. The public was overwhelmed by a wealth of choices, but still had enough common sense left to recognize a liar, a rogue, or a poser when they saw one, which meant that many a political party crashed back into oblivion only a few days after its launch. Drunk, or at least dizzy with their new freedom, the public could be utterly merciless with those who couldn't come up to scratch. Jack found himself facing one of the several full-length mirrors on the walls, and studied himself soberly. He looked young, fit, in the peak of physical fitness. He didn't have anything to complain about. He'd overcome all his enemies, and seen the old order thrown down. Lionstone was gone, and the families fatally weakened. He should have had the universe by the throat. So why did he feel so damned tired? Part of it was having to do so much on his own. Owen and Hazel were always off on missions, and Ruby had no interest in politics, or anything much else these days. The novelty of immense wealth had worn off very quickly, much to Ruby's surprise. When you can have anything, very little has value anymore. She grew bored with all the new people and the toys, and of late seemed to spend most of her time sleeping, drinking, or trying to start fights in places where they hadn't heard of her. She tried to get into the arenas, but no one would face her. Even the aliens tended to go sick rather than fight Ruby Journey, including a few that hadn't previously been recognized as intelligent. Jack supposed he should be grateful that he at least still had some purpose in his life, even if it was one he wouldn't have chosen. Nursing the new democracy through its birth pangs was hard, bitter, and often disillusioning work. He'd never been too sure exactly what he was going to do once he'd won the war, and the rebellion he'd given his life to was finally over. The subject hadn't often come up. He'd always vaguely supposed that democracy would just sweep across the empire like a great tide, washing away the old nonsense of aristocracy and privilege, and that the people would joyfully step forward to shoulder the burdens of power and responsibility. And he'd be allowed to retire quietly somewhere peaceful, to relive old battles with old friends, and win all the arguments by writing his memoirs. He should have known better. His reflection looked back at him with quizzical eyes. He had a lot to be grateful for, after all. He was young again, his personal clock turned back by the maze. His body had a perfection now it had never known before. He was stronger, faster, and fitter than at any other time in his life. Jack Random, acknowledged by many as one of the greatest warriors of his age. So why did he feel so damned old? He turned his back on his reflection and looked around the sumptuous room, trying to see it with the eyes of his old previous self, the legendary professional rebel. This wasn't the kind of place he'd ever expected to wind up in. Most of his life had been spent living in poor, temporary accommodation on one oppressed planet or another, hiding away from prying eyes or potential traitors. He hadn't cared then. All that mattered was the cause. Bad lodgings, bad food, and enough bad company had all been part of the price he willingly paid to be the hero of the rebellion. He had no right to live in ease, while so many slaved in poverty. Of course, such high feelings had come easily enough when he was young and fit, and betting a new Stars in Our Eyes comrade of the rebellion every other night. As he got older, as his failures grated on him more and more, he'd found the rebel path harder and harder to follow. So many good friends dead, so many hopes raised on so many worlds, only to be dashed by superior Empire forces and firepower. He always got away, but he left armies of the dead behind him. It was almost a relief when he was finally betrayed and captured on Cold Rock. His legend had become an impossible weight to carry, and after his people eventually broke him out of captivity, he'd sunk into anonymity on Mistworld as the janitor Job Ironhand with simple gratitude. It felt so good not to have so many people's lives depending on his every decision. His living quarters had still been rather basic, though. And then, of course, Owen Bloody Deathstalker had arrived out of nowhere to call him back to duty and destiny, and later the Madness Maze rebuilt him, the rebellion had come and gone so quickly he could hardly believe it, and he was left with a sobering effect of seeing all his dreams come true. He'd achieved pretty much everything he'd ever wanted or dreamed of, but he was still a young man, and who knew how long a life still ahead of him? What the hell was he to do with it? What do you do when you have no dreams left? Oh, he had enough chores and duties to keep him busy for years yet. He could make a living out of politics, but it wasn't the same somehow. His present circumstances were comfortable but modest. He had a one-bedroom apartment in the office building adjoining Parliament. He'd chosen it so he could always be there on the spot should duty call, and also because he needed the extra security to ward off his many enemies. He'd upset a lot of people in his time, on all sides of the political spectrum. Everyone agreed that the deal he'd struck with Blue Bloc over the families had been necessary, but that didn't mean anyone had to like it. There had been numerous attempted assassinations, bombings, and poisonings, and once his own bodyguards had tried to push him off a tall building. He'd killed the assassins, defused or avoided the bombs, survived the poisons, and personally filleted the treacherous bodyguards, but his enemies failed to get the message and continued plotting his downfall. As much out of hurt feelings, as far as he could tell. Personally, he didn't much mind. The assassination attempts were the only real excitement he got these days. But he worried about innocents getting hurt or even killed just by being near him at the wrong moment, so he reluctantly moved his few belongings into more secure rooms. The frequency of attacks dropped dramatically once he was safely inside Parliament's security net, but his new home wasn't the kind of place where friends could just drop in. There were times when the Spartan apartment seemed unbearably quiet and empty.